So thank you for being with us here today. I'm honored to introduce our closing speaker for today. Councilman Shekhar Krishnan is here with us today. Shekhar Krishnan is the New York City Council member for District 25, Jackson Heights, Elmhurst, East Elmhurst, and Woodside, Queens, some of the most diverse immigrant communities in the world. He is the first Indian American ever elected to the City Council in New York City history. Shekhar is currently the chair of the council's Committee on Oversight and Investigations, holding accountable anyone and anything that takes advantage of New Yorkers. In his previous term, Shekhar served as the chair of the council's Committee on Parks and Recreation, negotiating the highest budget ever for New York City parks. Jackson Heights, Elmhurst, and Woodside are home to thousands of essential workers, many of whom are immigrants, who move this city forward every day. In the council, Shekhar has championed workers' rights by passing legislation to decriminalize street vending and successfully leading the largest and strongest worker protection bill for Uber and Lyft drivers in the nation. He has also secured greatly needed resources for public hospitals like Elmhurst Hospital, including the first ever hand surgery clinic, a critical win for construction workers. Shekhar has also fought to preserve and expand public space in District 25, the council district with the least amount of green space. And I also want to say he's been a great friend of Ari. We really appreciate all his support. It's wonderful to have him here today. So please give us a round of applause for Shekhar Krishnan.
Thanks so much, John. Good evening, everyone. It's so good to see you all. I'm City Councilmember Shekhar Krishnan, proudly representing Jackson Heights and Elmhurst. I'm so happy to be here at RE today. And it was so nice to hear such a great musical performance before. It's been a long day of running around. So it was very good to close with music. So I don't think that's a high bar to meet after. So I'll keep my remarks short. I know it's been a long day for you all too. But I did want to come by because I really appreciate all that RE is doing. This convening today too, and talking about the issues of our community, our stories, our history, and the importance of representation. And there are just a couple of things I wanted to hit on quickly. I think for me, proudly being the first Indian American in our city council, I have seen firsthand just how important representation is for our community in multiple ways. I first want to say, doing this work, I've been involved in public interest work long before being in the city council, and the mission of RE to really capture our histories and stories is so important. So to John, Chamtholi, Grace, Pyle, everyone, thanks for inviting me today. Thanks for all of your work. Thanks to each and one of you who's here too. A little bit about me and why, what I've tried to bring to my work as a council member representing such an incredibly diverse district in Jackson Heights and Elmhurst, representing our communities our stories in the council. Before being in the city council, I was a civil rights lawyer for tenants for many years. And that's frankly what inspired me and drove me to run in the first place. I would represent tenants across Brooklyn and Queens, some of the most gentrified neighborhoods in New York City, seeing firsthand landlords that would take, no exaggeration, sledgehammers to their buildings, destroy them overnight, cut off all heat, hot water, gas in the middle of winter, harass tenants to get them out of their homes. And in those struggles, two things. One, sitting in the lobbies of their buildings, working with them to map out as tenant associations how we organized, how we fought back against landlords, some who spoke English, many who didn't, across all different cultures, showed me, one, and a lot of the communities were especially Spanish-speaking that I was into, which is how I really learned Spanish in the first place. But I saw firsthand how our struggles as Asian Americans are fundamentally, and we know this in this room too, tied together with the larger struggles of our Black and Brown communities across the city and across the country. And we advance when we stand in solidarity with our Black and Brown siblings across cultures to fight together to end the different forms of oppression that we see. That unlocks the possibility for us also to stand up for our communities, for our rights, and end our invisibilization. I've always believed that, but I had to see that firsthand, fighting for tenants every single day in neighborhoods where there were very few, frankly, Asian Americans, and where I, in the beginning, did not speak the language of so many of my clients. But that struggle, that is universal, as we know, across our cultures, and that solidarity is universal, too. in doing that work, of course, and being very active in Jackson Heights and Elmhurst, I also saw firsthand how housing was the most urgent crisis that we face in the city because it connects to every other crisis around us, right? Where you live affects your ability to get the resources and services that we deserve but so often don't have. And you can see that in our neighborhoods of Jackson Heights, Queens, where and Elmhurst, where we were the epicenter of the pandemic nationally with Elmhurst Hospital all over the news. But that didn't just happen overnight. That was the lack of funding for a public hospital that had less than one bed for every 1,000 patients that walked through its doors. And they don't turn away anyone, regardless of insurance status, regardless of immigration status. We saw it in the lack of public space and green space in our community, where Jackson Heights and Corona have some of the highest rates of childhood obesity and asthma in all of New York City. And we saw it in the way, and we're seeing it now, and how it's our communities that are on the front lines of so much of the hate that we are seeing, whether it's against immigrants, whether it's against LGBT and trans communities, so much of that, our neighborhoods are front and center in that work. So the two things together, my activism in Jackson Heights and the stories of Jackson Heights and how they matter to our community and they are our stories, plus my work as a lawyer for many years in immigrant communities that were different from ours, but being a part of that struggle is what propelled me to run for office in the first place. And I couldn't have really, and I've started to see over time the importance and impact of that representation in the council. And I'll say it in two ways, one in a personal and poignant way, and one in more on the issues. When I was running for city council for my first term, hard to believe I'm in my third and last one at this point. But in my first one, I remember campaigning by Broadway Park in Elmhurst. And when I was there, a Bangladeshi father came up to me and took me by surprise because I was busy talking to the voters. And he said to me, "I just wanted to meet you because my 10-year-old son gets bullied in school so much because he has dark skin just like you. And he's ashamed of his skin color. And I got him a campaign poster that I found of you. And we put it up in his room to show him that you can be dark-skinned and proud of who you are and accomplish the things that you want to and go on to do so many things in politics, whatever it may be. But that should not be a barrier that you feel for yourself or a limitation you put on yourself." And in the middle of a campaign, you're talking to some different people, hearing about their stories too. It caught me so off guard in that moment and actually brought tears to my eyes in that moment because I grew up also as someone, as many of us I'm sure didn't too, both ashamed, both wrestling with the color of my skin, my identity, what that meant, hearing comments about it too, had to wrestle with that as part of a larger, search of my own identity as I got older. And to hear that from a 10-year-old boy's father in that moment really impacted me and stayed with me because it's oftentimes the people that you know but also that you don't know where the work that we all do in this room can have a collective impact. And that stayed with me, and I remembered that. And as the campaign went on a few months later, this was in the back of my mind. And then one day I was outside of Masjid in Elmhurst about to go in and speak to everybody there. And the father came up with this 10-year-old son to me and said, "This is our Masjid. This is where we go. We were so excited to see you. And I wanted you to meet my son in person." And so I spoke to him in that moment and pulled him aside and talked to him about both how beautiful his skin color is and how proud he should be in who he is. And to never let any hate or anything interfere with his own sense of worth and pride, and how, it's having dark brown skin is something to be very proud of. And it was touching because then afterwards, him and his father both introduced me to everyone in the masjid before I spoke to. And I say now again because now I have a 10-year-old son too, two boys, and those are the conversations I have at home with them too. One of them, I went when they were in 3K to read a book to the class, and I read a book written by Lupita Nyong'o called Sulwe, which is about a girl who also struggles with having dark skin and efforts she tried to have to lighten it and but how she learned to be proud of her own skin color too. And so it's just in that moment, you know, it was such a quick encounter that stayed with me. But now as a father also, and now also with a 10-year-old son and talking about these things, you see how in so many ways, ways that we can imagine, we talk publicly about it, but ways we can't even imagine, representation matters so much. I carry those stories with me in City Hall every single day. And, you know, I think it's what's motivated me personally to keep up the struggle on so many issues affecting our neighborhoods, whether it's, as John mentioned before, to stand up for street vendors across our city and decriminalize street vending, which I was so proud to lead that fight on. Because nobody should face jail time or be arrested simply for trying to sell food to support their family, and we got that done. Whether it's to stand up for the taxi drivers in our city, so many of whom are South Asian, come from Jacksonite and Elmhurst. I'm proud to represent the largest population of taxi driver residents in all of New York City. I see them every day walking. We're walking our kids to school. They're my neighbors. They're my friends. And that was a fight that, you know, both the mayor, Councilman Shahana Hanif, and I were involved with when it came to the medallion crisis and got arrested for. But this was the second iteration now of drivers being deactivated or fired from the apps by Uber and Lyft with no notice or process whatsoever, and losing their ability to earn and provide for their families overnight. And we were going up against billion-dollar corporations that tried to throw everything at us, the amount of lies they would tell, the amount of fear-mongering they would do, trying to enlist groups to spread fear to about what they would mean. And these are all coded tactics of racism that, you know, these billion-dollar companies were engaging in to make people feel afraid about your brown or black taxi driver. But we prevailed. We won that fight, too, and we stopped the activations and unjust firings of taxi drivers in the city. And those are the kinds of ways in the bigger fights that we've had that we've been able to bring our representation to City Hall. The last thing I just closed with was, you know, and some of you may have seen it, too. We had an exhibition at the New York Historical Society called the New York Saudi, which I had worked with the Historical Society on to tell the story of our South Asian and Indo-Caribbean communities and identities through the Saudi, through fashion, but really as a way to talk about the contributions of South Asian women to the fabric of this city in so many different ways. And I was proud to make sure that my mom, Saudi, was also featured in the exhibition as someone who faced herself extraordinary discrimination to the point that it drove her out of the work that she was doing as a scientist and forced her to resign because all that she would do would never be recognized in the end. And it was a fitting way to come back and tell the full circle of her story and her work through having her Saudi as part of the exhibition too. More to come on that as well. It's not over yet, so there'll be a round two and more will be announced about that. But I say all of those things to say in ways, you know, big on policy level, in cultural celebrations, and in education, as we have here with our AAPI curriculum that we've now worked with Ari to create in our city. For the small personal things that stand with me, I try, as each and every one of you do too, to show up and bring my whole self and our identities and our stories and culture into what we do and to find ways to use my one voice, but in a sea of all of our voices in this movement here together, to really fight for so many, our ancestors, those who our parents, our grandparents, whose shoulders we stand on, who are struggling so much, to create a better world for our children where they see themselves, they see our histories and stories in a way that we never were able to growing up. And that's the work that I'm proud to do with each of you in this room and with Ari too. And so I think days like today, and the work that you all are doing here, too, and that CUNY is doing, too, is such a powerful way to lift up our communities and to join together in these larger fights we have to really change city policy to make sure that our voices, whether it's on issues affecting workers, vendors, whether it's on making sure that we are seen and show up in data that our city collects about us, too, that our Asian American communities are heard, seen, and recognized. And I'm proud to keep doing this work together with each and every one of you. So thank you for having me here, too. Thanks for all your work, and onwards with the fight that we have ahead of us. Thanks, everybody.
So just want to close us out today. Thank you so much for spending the day with us to consider the new Asian NYC, mobilization, grassroots power, and pluralistic future. So I feel like we've been given so much to think about and celebrate, and also some food for our soul with the musicians today. So thank you so much to everybody, all the presenters, the panelists, the speakers. And then just once again to thank Linta Varghese, Professor Linta Varghese, and Provost Jones for the space today. Our planning committee, Pael Dr. Shamtoli Huck, Sokantari Sve, our great, amazing RE staff, Anthony Wong, Grace Lee, William Tam, Zhu Wei Wu, our interns, Shishi and Lydia. So give them a round of applause as well for all the great work. And thank you all for spending the day with us. It's been a really great day to have this engagement and conversation with you. So wishing you a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. So thanks, everybody. Good night.